And with 2013 coming to a finish, we are once again going inside the National Recording Registry to find out what essential sounds have been newly preserved by the Library of Congress. This time, it's Ornette Coleman's 1959 record, The Shape of Jazz to Come. It was only Coleman's third album. He wasn't 30 years old yet, but it somehow managed to live up to the chutzpah of its title.
My name is Sonny Rollins. I'm a jazz saxophonist.
My name is John Littweiler. I wrote a book about Ornette Coleman.
I'm DeNardo Coleman, and I am Ornette's son. Lonely Woman is a good example of my father's music. It's so melodic, and that's really what he concentrated on. There's so much melody in his playing. You're improvising, but it sounds like perhaps melody you've already written, but you're doing it instantaneously at that time. And, you know, it's powerful.
When you're improvising, listening to the other players, I think that's occurring on such a deep level of communication that it's almost impossible to describe. It's in the moment, it is unpredictable, and it's exciting. So Ornette does all of these things.
In 1959, when The Shape of Jazz to Come was recorded, was a very difficult year for jazz.
My man don't love me.
Billie Holiday died, Lester Young died, Sidney Bechet died. And then in a period of a little over a month, John Coltrane recorded Giant Steps, the Miles Davis Sextet recorded Kind of Blue, and Ornette Coleman recorded The Shape of Jazz to Come.
The jazz scene was divided into camps, so to speak. Dixieland style, swing style, but then also the bebop style. The chord structures of bebop were based upon the chord structures of swing, or the chord structures of Dixieland. It's the same songs. For instance, you could play I Want to Be Happy in Dixieland. You could play I Want to Be Happy in bebop. And you're using the same harmonic structures.
But Ornette himself said that the first really free playing that he did was the album Shape of Jazz to Come.
Yeah, in 1959, when he made that record, things had not opened up. You know, it wasn't as if it was 10 years later and people were used to great change and thinking about change. At that point, in terms of jazz playing, things were dominated by really mastering playing on chord changes.
The controversy about The Shape of Jazz to Come had to do with Ornette's abandoning the harmonic patterns that jazz had been based on for the first half a century that jazz existed.
And that was a big break.
So he calls that concept harmelodics. And it's really where the melody and harmony and rhythm kind of have equal value and equal place.
I think he had worked out his approach a little more methodically, so it was more revolutionary in that sense.
You know, what's remarkable is I think at that time of Shape of Jazz to Come, my father was 29, and the other guys were, you know, a few years younger than him. So for him to be thinking totally outside and to execute it, it may be hard to imagine today because, you know, today everything goes, anything goes. But back then it was a much different society. And when you talk about going against the grain or going against the wave, you were going against a tidal wave.
Our Peabody Award-winning series on the National Recording Registry is produced by Ben Manila and Devin Strolovich from BMP Audio. You can hear 20 more of these stories at studio360.org. From Donna Summers' I Feel Love to Vince Guaraldi's A Charlie Brown Christmas.